All right. We started with positioning yourself to receive healing. And what we have on here, where the paper that I handed out, it starts, and look, we're building as we go along. There's things, what we're looking at is the fact of there's principles and things that we need to know. There's foundations that have to be laid out in Scripture for us, especially to come to the place of faith concerning healing. But not just healing, but anything from the standpoint of Scriptures. People, many a times, you know, they see a promise in the Bible, and they're trying to get to that promise, and that's where they focus all their time. But the things that they need to know so they can get there, they usually never find out what they are. And we need to understand how important that is. You know, there's always conditions to blessing. There's always conditions. And you want to find out what the conditions are. You know, there's conditions concerning salvation, how you get born again. And so you need to understand things that the Bible requires of us. Certain things we must believe. So it's important that we understand those things. And when we first started, we looked at those things, some things along that line. And especially like dealing, as we look through here, we're going to build foundations of things so people can believe. So as we look along in this, we can build faith within ourselves, but we need to understand a lot of what I'm going to teach here is things that you can use, especially if you're going to minister to people. Most of the time, people just want prayed for. That's just pray for me. This is where churches make the biggest mistakes. They don't teach people well enough, and they're going through the motions, and the majority of the people who get prayed for never get healed. They never get healed. And it's not God's fault. It's people don't follow the principles of the Word. You need to understand there must be a foundation laid in people. People have a lot of ideas. They think just because you have hands laid on you and that stuff, you're going to get better. But most people are looking for somebody to do it for them. That's what they're looking for. When they're asking somebody to lay hands on them, they're asking that person, really, in a sense, to heal them. And it's not going to work. And God's the healer. We need to find out what we do to cooperate with God. What does God require? What does He want? That's what we want to find out. I found this out a long time ago. It was not hard getting healing once I knew what to do. Once I understood what I needed to do, then it wasn't very difficult. Many times people have beliefs. And one of the things, it's always amazed me, and I've found it watching over the years with people, for some reason, people get strong beliefs on certain things, and sometimes it's very hard to break that belief in them. They'll hold on to that. They don't want to move from it. You know, people love the thing of God being in control when He's not. I mean, the Apostle Paul wrote that who is the God of this world? He didn't say the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, did he? The God of this world is Satan. And a man wants to do something in this world, he's going to have to cooperate with God, and he's going to have to respond to God to get God to step in. We're dealing with Satanist world. If God was in control, then everything is sure. He has made a mess, and he's messed everything up from the beginning, and he's a real big problem. But he's not a problem, and man's been the problem. So how can I cooperate with God? How can I hook up and get the blessings of God in the earth? And those are the things we want to find out. So positioning ourselves to receive healing is one of the major things that is dependent upon this is your teachability and the person or maybe you're ministering to, their teachability. You will find this out. Some people are unteachable. This is things that you're going to have to look at with people to see where they're at. You know, many times people want something, but they want to maintain their beliefs that they have, even when their beliefs are wrong. But they want to maintain those beliefs. They want to keep walking in those. So it's hugely important. Jesus said this in Mark 4:24. Jesus made this statement. I always go with what Jesus, when Jesus made a statement about something, it doesn't matter to me what anybody else says on the subject. Since He's Lord, I think we ought to take Him pretty seriously. It says, then He said to them, take heed what you hear. With the same measure you use, it will be measured to you. And to you who hear, more will be given. Now Jesus is talking here about, He's ministering about things of the kingdom of God. Now, He says here to take heed what you hear. He said, with the measure you use, or how you measure the importance of what you hear. In other words, he was ministering to people the word of God. He was ministering to them. So in the importance that they take on that, he said, it's going to be measured to you again. People who don't succeed in the word of God, people who don't develop spiritually and don't go anywhere, it's because they don't take God's word seriously. Just that simple. There's no rocket scientist to this. Anything that you take in teaching seriously, you're going to develop in. Things that you really go after, it's just very simple. It's how you spend time in it. He said, to you who hear, more will be given. In other words, anything in teaching in a subject, if we could take, let's take a subject just to math. If somebody don't pay any attention to hear it, there's no point in giving them more. They're not going to hear it anyhow. You know, there's like levels of hearing. There's certain things that you don't hear. There's certain things you can't ever go on to learn. It's impossible. You have to learn. There's some things in any subject, there's foundational things you've got to learn first. That you have to get a hold of those things first. If you don't get a hold of those, there is no point teaching beyond that point. Many people are overtaught. They have never, just in schools, there's kids who are overtaught. They're given more information than they have ever taken in, and a lot of what's said to them goes over their heads. It isn't because maybe they're dumb. Some kids requires more. Maybe they don't understand certain things and that. But it's no point going beyond what a person knows. If you're going beyond it, you're just blowing wind. You're talking, and they ain't picking anything up. So this is important. I think our educational systems is missed. They have tried to, come up with systems that everybody just goes together. Well, it'll never happen that way. And anybody who has an education thinks like that, I feel sorry for them because they're Alice in Wonderland. They have this, things that they set up about people, but you have to understand, some people want to learn things. Like, you can't make somebody learn something, You can sit them in class all you want, but you can't make them learn it. They decide whether or not they're going to learn or not. They decide they're going to take the time and put an interest in to learn something. So, in other words, Jesus is telling us here the importance that we measure things. So we have to decide what's important we want to learn. See, we live in a world that everybody and his brother wants healing. But the average person, even from a natural standpoint, won't do the things they need to do to take care of themselves. The average person won't. the last time I was in with a checkup with a doctor, just going through a checkup, and we were talking about some things, and I was saying certain things about health-wise. He asked me about different things I do. I said, there's things you have to look after yourself. I said, I can't depend on you to do it. The doctor. He said, could you come in and talk to some of my patients? Because most people want somebody else to do it for them. They're not taking responsibility for their lives. Most people that want God to do something for them take no responsibility about God or anything. They're just doing their thing. God is somebody you come to when things get messed up. Then you run to him. He's the Santa Claus. And you run and you write him the letter and say, I've been a pretty good guy. I was pretty good and I did really nice. Give me what I want. That's the prayer life. It's the way it goes. But we need to understand, it's taking the time. And it does take time to learn things. Education, I don't know. Some people maybe get certain things faster than others, but everybody is going to have to. Everybody comes in life to you, things you have to study and you have to get a hold of. Walking by faith, it seems that people who seem to be mental giants running along things, many of them have a hard time when it comes to areas of faith. They have a hard time. I know I've ministered in numbers of different cultures, and I found many times that I could go among people who weren't educated very much, but they were people of faith, and they understood how to walk by faith. And you get among, like here in the United States, it's hard to get people into faith because we think we're bright. Because we can read a book. We think because, we can Facebook and all these things, and we can, we have all of our little gadgets and all of our, we're little geniuses. Don't realize how dumb we are. Don't even know the obvious. And we don't realize in many things how uneducated we are. You have to learn, you're going to have to know about those things. It's just like with the Word of God. You need to know what you need to be learning. You need to understand what you need to learn. some people go on, and I found people who never catch on to that of what they need to know. They just keep going along, and they're not getting anywhere and where they're going, and they never seem to change. They don't really seem to know. They think they have arrived at a spot, and they've never arrived there at all. They think that they're a place. You gotta learn to know yourself, of what you need to know. Lots of times I ask God, I say, God, you know, I sometimes don't see myself clearly. God, what is it I need to know? I want to know. What is it I don't see? What is it? You know, it's number one, it's going down the road of life. One of the things is the Holy Spirit shows us things to come. Is the fact of going down the road of life, it is good to know what you need to be preparing for down the way. Many people go through life mostly unprepared, and everything that comes along, they're not prepared at. It's just like with our country we see with the COVID thing. Boy, it's proved to that. All these geniuses we have, boy, they were all ready, weren't they? All these know-it-all, you know, they all knew it all, didn't they? They really did good. And so, you know, when people rely like that on things, it becomes a problem. I want to read Mark to the fourth chapter, verse 24 from the Amplified. I like the Amplified version. I think it says it really clear. It says, and he said to them, be careful what you are hearing. The measure of thought and study you give to the truth you hear will be the measure of the virtue and knowledge that comes back to you, and more besides will be given to you who hear. So it's easy. Once you go along and start learning, it's easy to learn more. It's always easy to learn more. If you're learning things, it's easy to pick up more stuff. So it's taking yourself and taking the time to decide to learn. When I went to Bible school, one of the big things that they did there was they dealt with people about being teachable. Because I was really amazed when I went to Bible school, students who were just unteachable. People who aren't, they had their beliefs, and you know what? They were going to stick. I thought, why would you go to Bible school? You were going to believe what you were going to believe anyhow. You weren't going to listen to nobody. They wouldn't listen to anybody on anything. There's things that, you know, I've heard people teach things and that stuff. I didn't especially agree with them on that, but I want to at least be able to hear what they had to say. You know? Find out if it was wrong. And sometimes there's people who have things wrong, but they do have some things right, and you might learn something if you listen. You might learn some things. And it's always good. I mean, I like to learn things, and especially the Word of God. I know if I learn things from the Word of God, I know the success I can have and the blessing you can get from walking in it. So the amount of fruit that you will produce depends upon your response to this principle that we're looking at here right now. This principle will determine how far you will go. And so always know that. This is why it's teaching. I've had over the years, you know, people would come along and they would, like say, people didn't go to our church, they call, I would get calls and that stuff. People ask you, you know, they have health problems, and so they know your church prays for people. Would you pray for me? And I tell people, I said, I would like you to come to church and sit down and listen to some teaching. That's what I'd like you to do. Well, I don't have time. And I said, well, you got plenty of time to stay sick. And you will. You got plenty of time for it. You got plenty of time for it. See, when a person, number one, is dealing in the areas of faith, I like what Randall Greer says, if you're willing to put up with something, you will. Mm-hmm. If it is not important enough for you to go after it, then 10-1, you're not going to get there. You're not going to get it. If you're not willing to sit down and listen to some things to be taught, is number one, Christianity is not like McDonald's. You don't drive up to the window, give your order, and it comes the same, you know, within 2 minutes of what you ask. That ain't happening. There's things that I have walked in for years. Till you start to get to the place you can step into some of the things that you would have liked to step, that I've seen in the Word, but it takes time to get there. And we need to know that. It's a matter of perseverance. Faith and patience should inherit the promise. It ain't through faith and McDonald's you'll get whatever you want. And that's what most people are looking for. They're looking for instantaneous. And that's not the way the kingdom of God works. And so we operate in the areas of faith and patience. Now, we need to understand there's certain things, a principle that we want to come to. And up at the top there, you know, the scripture is on Mark of our page there has a Mark 11:24, which says, "Believe that to receive when you pray." And really, that's position that we want to move to it. We want to get to that. And we're going to look at something about that, because as we go, we're going to be building toward that principle. This is where most people want to start. Well, you can't start there. But you have to know something about that is concerning teaching of where you want to go. In Mark 11:24, Jesus said this. He said, "Therefore I say to you, whatever things you ask when you pray," he said, "believe that you receive them and you will have them." So whatever things you ask when you pray, believe that you receive them and you will have them. Now, he says whatever you there is ask. That word ask, the idea of the word ask is the idea, it can be translated ask, but it has the idea of to crave, desire, or require. To crave. Now, do you crave for what you're asking God for? Now, you need to understand, get a hold of this. Many people will never get their prayers answered because they don't crave that answer to prayer. Oh, they'll go pray it, but they won't ever really go after it. They'll never get to the point and coming to the place, I got to have that. Isn't something that you crave? And listen, he says crave, he said desire. In other words, you got to have, and the idea of desire is not just, many people say they desire something. What they mean, it'd be nice if I could have it, if I don't, no deal. We're talking about a desire that you have, a strong desire that you have to have something. Also, to idea of require, you require it. I got to have this thing. And really, that's if you aren't like that concerning what you're going after, I would just tell you don't bother much going after it. It's not going to work. Because you want to be in that position, because then you'll begin to try to do what you have to do to get there, to get it. If you don't do that, what you don't know, you'll never seek after. You'll never go after it. You got to get yourself that I want this. You know, it's most of the time, if I've talked about this before, we pray for people too quick. We even pray for our own needs too quick. We pray when we're not really ready and set to be after it. We're not at that place. And we need to sit down and decide, get ourselves in a position. We're so quick right away to do things. You know, sometimes prayer may come up and you may have to do something. Sometime an emergency arises, but 99% of the time, most people, that's not the condition. Most people, they get themselves into trouble. They want something fixed real quick. They don't want to have to, you know, learn anything or anything. I just want to get this and go on. I need to go on. It's not going to work in that manner. You have to sit down and take the time. There's many times of things that I have waited months before I would pray for certain things or do certain things. That I make sure that I'm in the position that I am ready when I ask. Because we find out here, it says this. Really, we can almost look at it as a mathematical problem, because it says when we're asking, or this desire, or this craving, or what we require, it says, so you're sort of adding. So you're doing it in prayer, and then plus this, you gotta believe you receive it at the time that you pray. Now, those three things are listed here to do. So, now, we need to see that Jesus did not promise results because you asked, desire, or craved, or require. You don't get results because of that. It is good that we ask. It is good. He didn't promise that you got results when we prayed about the situation. He didn't say you would get it because you did that. Right there, most people, that's where they're at. That's where they're at. But he didn't say it. So, Jesus said this, Jesus, you know, results are promised to those who ask or desire, crave or require or pray. They believe they receive when they pray. That person will have that one. Believe we receive when we pray is the position you must be in if we desire to be healed by faith or whatever else it is we're asking for. You're going to be in that position. Now, let me say this, and please get this clear. There is so much over-teaching on about faith that most people, that's all they want to pray is this prayer. And you need to understand, you can't pray this for other people. You can't believe you receive for them. The prayer of faith is about your personal needs. Now, if you come along and want me to pray the prayer of faith, well, in a sense, I have to pray the prayer of agreement with you, and you have to be believing concerning the prayer of faith. You're going to have to be in faith. I can't force the blessing of God on you. I can't make it happen. People do this all the time. They're out there believing for somebody else and praying and say, I believe they're going to have this or they're going to have that. If you could do that, then we could pray and get everybody saved and go into the millennium tomorrow. Well, that ain't going to happen. You can't do this. This is our own personal prayer life. This is about us. The things you desire. What you desire, I may not. You can't push your will on other people's lives. This is where other people mess up when it comes to praying. They're always trying to push their will on other people. They're always trying to get other people to do what they want to do. So they start praying. You know, I had a person not long ago, you know, had said to me about the fact of, they were startled when I said about this, saying this, talking about the same thing. Well, they said, well, you can't pray. Well, I've been praying and asking, I want this done or that done. I said, well, good luck. But they were startled. They thought, I said, you really think you can just control everybody else with your prayer? I said, how's it working out? Well, it wasn't working out. But they're going through the motion thinking they're doing something spiritual. And they ain't doing nothing spiritual at all. They ain't doing anything spiritual. They're just wasting their whole life running around trying to control other people. Let me tell you this. God can't control everybody. You're not. He don't even try to do it. So, like some people, well, I mean, God's in control. Said, I hope he gets you under control soon. Yeah, sure is. But you know, we need to come to the place, and here's we're going to arrive at the place that the things that we desire, or we're asking for, that we prayed for, we must believe we receive it at the time that we pray. If you don't get that and you don't come to that, the rest of this teaching will do you no good at all. It won't be of any value to you. You got to believe you receive it at the time that you pray. That's faith. This is where faith comes in. Most people are not there. Most people pray. Most people that pray, they're praying for the manifestation. They're praying for an instant thing. When I feel like he said, then he heard me. Yeah, I feel it. So they heard me. Then I know he heard me. That isn't what Jesus said. See, the church world needs to come. We're more geared. We have all kind of beliefs about things that people are doing. And, you know, in churches many times, people are being prayed for healing. They're never even asking the person if they believe they're going to get anything when they're prayed for. They just bring a person up, you know, and just... Yeah, we'll lay hands on and pray. Never even the person coming up. Many times I find people are not in a position to receive. They don't believe they're going to get anything. They're hoping they do. But they're not believing a thing. And we go through all this religious motions. I would think, you know, I like to see things work, you know. I don't know about you. We want them to work. And so, especially in dealing with these things, when the Lord spoke to me some years ago and said to me to tell people that if they'll listen to what I tell them and they'll do it, they'll get healed every time. And you will. If you listen to these things, you get healed every time. I know that it works because I've done it and 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 I've done it. And it works. See, nobody's going to tell me it don't work. Amen. It's too late. Amen. It's worked too many times. And so, it's a thing that we, you know, when people get in their mind, but get into this thing and meditate on the fact of I must believe I receive it at the time that I pray. That's what I'm supposed to be believing. I'm not supposed to believing when it shows up. I'm not supposed to be believing for the manifestation. People have all kinds of things what they're supposed to be believing. Jesus told us what we must believe. And if we believe what he says, he said we'll have it. I wonder if he lied or not. He may have. He may have been just pulling the wool over the eyes of the guys, you know. He probably turned around and laughed and walked away and said they fell for it. I don't know. We have to decide those things. Did he do that? No, he told us what we were going to believe. When I was just a young Christian, I was only a Christian a couple months, and I got that revelation. You had to believe you receive when you pray. Well, I got that revelation. That's what I'm supposed to be believing. You ask most people what they're believing, they'll give you a long, you know, at least a good paragraph spiel about what they're believing. That is what Jesus said. What is it you ask for? Did you believe you receive it? Yeah, I got that. I have it. Do you feel better? He didn't ask me if I was supposed to check to see if I felt better. He never asked me to believe a thing about that. But that's what we like to do. That's what we enjoy. That's what we build our faith around. And then we say, you know, this faith stuff don't work. Well, that's the biggest lie I was ever told, because the people who do that are never in faith. They don't even know what faith is. I'm sad to say this. Most ministers don't know what faith is. They don't know. Things are built upon seeing, feeling, everything. People want to walk in that place. Is to believe you had something. People say, some minister said to him, well, I ain't going to believe in anything I can't see. And they asked him, they said, do you believe you have brains? Oh, he said, of course. He said, did you ever see them? He said, well, no, I never saw them. Well, then we must not have any then. Because you didn't see them, so you ain't going to believe in anything you don't see. People lie about it. People say that all the time. You know, people believe in things all the time they can't see. But when it comes to the Word of God, the devil got most people bound so tight. The devil has their minds made, and as soon as they get to Christianity, they could jump into any other faith and believe in anything they didn't see. But when it comes over to Christianity, oh no, this faith stuff's weird over here in Christianity. That's where it's weird at. Well, it's weird. I'm weird and I'm loving it. Let me alone. Hallelujah. It's a working. We're doing good. Glory to God. But always take the time to locate people where they're at when you're going to minister to them, because you want people to have something. I think one of the worst things that I think sometimes we've gotten people pushed away from Christianity by trying to give them things they are not ready to receive, and then we pray and do things that don't work, and they say, and after a while they wander off. They don't want to have nothing to do with it. We need to be honest to people. You know, I've had people ready, and I just tell them, you know, if they're asking me of something I know that's not going to work, I ain't playing the game. I'm honest. I'm not going to lie to have a friend or somebody and think you're going to do that kind of stuff. That's why we have such a flaky church world today. Because most people are liars, cheats, and crooks. Most people are so insecure, trying to make everybody like them. Get over it. Jesus came, and my God healed. John said he did so many darn miracles that he said he didn't think in the sky and everything could hold all the things that he did. And when he left, he was real popular, wasn't he? He was just real popular when he left. Yeah. So don't be insecure about it. People need the truth, and if they will follow it, there will always be people who will follow the truth. You know, and I had to learn that. I had to learn when I first started off that a lot of people were not necessarily interested. You could stand. I mean, when I was first church that Wanda and I, you know, went to and that stuff, and I ended up in the Lord said to me, the pastor is going to ask you to teach the adult Sunday school class. Now, I was born again. I guess at that time I was probably, that was probably after the first year we were born again, there it was. And I was like 31 years old. I had only been born again a little over a year. And I said, why would he ask me to teach the adult Sunday school class? Because I'm thinking, dear Lord, these people, they had started a church and you know, bunches of them were much older Christians. I mean, some of these people were been Christians for like some of them about 40 years. And he's coming and asking me, and I sort of thought it was a bit comical when God said it to me. I thought, why would he ask me to teach? Oh. And it wasn't a week later, the pastor came and asked me to teach adult Sunday school class, and I was like, Oh, now God had, I'm glad God told me ahead of time I was supposed to do that. I would have really been skeptical. As I said to the Lord, I said, Lord, I'm looking for somebody to teach me. Excuse me, I'm looking for that. And, but I got around these people and, I realized now these people have been, Christians for a long time and things, but most of them were not very teachable. They had their religious beliefs and ideas, and they wouldn't even listen to the Bible. Oh, you said, you believe the Bible? Oh, yeah, I believe the Bible is the Word of God. You start teaching the Word of God, and it don't match up with their beliefs, they'll get mad at you. Uh-uh. We got our beliefs, man. Our beliefs are what's important. And see, it's like with me. If I believe something away, and I find out the Bible's saying different, we're going with the Bible. I'm just sorry. We're going with the Bible. That's it. You know? We just change it. Well, it wasn't like that, you know. But I found out is one thing is they had a guy had come to the church, and I told you guys about this before, but he spoke to me and told me, he said, I see you're a teacher. This guy knew me from nobody. And he said, I see you're a teacher. He said, sent from God. And I said, yeah, I don't know where I was sent to, dear. This is crazy. And anyhow, he said, I see you with a loaf of bread. You tear it off and you throw it, you give it to people. And he said, some of them, their complaint is too dry, it's too hard, too many seeds. And he said, some of them like it. He said, some of them throw it back at you. He said, don't be concerned about that. He said, the ones that don't want it, he said, you take it from them and give it to the ones that want it. And man, that really helped me. You see, Jesus taught that principle. Jesus told the disciples of the 70 when they out, you go somewhere and people don't want it, you shake the dust off your feet and leave. That's the way you do it. Don't waste your time with people who don't want it. Now, they may turn around and want it later on or something. They may decide. We don't throw them out. But don't waste your time teaching those who don't want to be taught. You're wasting your time. Jesus said so. Our society spends the majority of its time, our educational system spends the majority of its time with people who don't want to learn. Everything is pushed toward the person that don't want it, and that's why it's a waste of time. It's a waste of time. You can't go against spiritual law and make it work. The system's a failure, and it'll continue to fail. Can't work. It's a failure. Because it spends all of its time. You get somebody that's good in class, they don't spend time with them. They're spending time with a guy over here that's been kind of doing it, he's doing stuff. They're over there trying to get him learned, trying to do something. They're spending all their time and money. The squeaky wheel gets all the oil. Yep. That's the system. That's the American way. And it's in the church up to here, man. The church does the same thing. Chasing people that don't want to be there. Trying to get people in church who don't want to go to church. Chasing them around. As you've noticed, I don't do that. I don't chase people around. You know? You might chase after babies who don't know anything. But there's too many people. They're just downright, they don't want to do it. They don't want to play it. Let them go. Till they decide they want something. And then, you know, you can offer them whatever. And if they turn it down, just smile and say goodbye. That's just that it. They don't want it. Hey, that's all right. That's okay. You know, don't get mad at it. Just, hey, you don't want it. That's fine. We just go on. Because why? There's somebody that wants it. Amen. And as the Lord dealt with me over the years, you spend the time with people that want it. I'd rather have two people that want it than one of these stupid churches that got 10,000 people that just show up to do their religious thing and go home. And next year they come to church, they ain't even as spiritual they were the first year. If you ain't growing, you are degressing. Amen. That's an obvious. That's just the way it is. I mean, that's life. Amen. You know, it's one thing is I've learned about learning. If you don't continue, if you're not a continual student when it comes to learning, you'll regress. Just that's easy. All these people that can't wait till I get out of school. I don't want to ever quit learning. Only idiots quit learning. Because they're going to be idiots, I'm going to tell you. And the people that are smart are going to have to put up with them. People who took the time to learn. They're always chasing. There's people who didn't want to learn, always chasing after the people that learned to try to get something from them. Without having to learn. So, we're not going there. Hallelujah. But you must determine where people are. When people come to you, where are they spiritually? Ask people questions. You know, I often found this out. One of the things that really cracks me up, because like, people will, like, say, call the church, you know, who they don't go to our church, they'll call the church, they want something. I ask questions. I always ask questions. And the majority of them get offended. They don't like anybody asking them questions. They don't want anybody asking you questions. You're supposed to give me what I want. You don't ask me any questions. So I call, see, and you're supposed to just respond to what I want. This is what you're, and I ask questions. People don't like that. But to find out where people are and what's going on, I just tell people nicely. I just say to them, myself, if you don't answer my questions, the call ends. Very simple. And they say, would you do that? I said, yes, I know how to say goodbye and hang up. I know how to do that. Now just think about this. That person could never even call the government without the government asking them questions. All kind. They'll ask more questions than I will about things. But you know what? They have learned from the church that Christians are fools and idiots. And they'll fall for anything, mostly. Oh yeah. You're supposed to be Mr. Free Handout. That's what you're supposed to do. Yeah, burr. Don't ask no questions. Just give me what I want. I've had people tell me I had to give them what they want. And I've told them, you best call the police and see what you can get done about that. Because I ain't going to do it. Oh, people have ideas about churches. Why? Because they're used to the fact churches are not there for any spiritual reason other than to take care of their physical needs. That's what they're there for. That's the purpose of the church. And they're used to that because many churches operate in that manner. That's what they do. They're nothing but an extension of welfare that keeps people. You can live out there and don't have to do anything. We'll just keep handing you stuff because we supposedly love you. And it's not love at all. It's dependency. And many Christians love the idea of people being dependent on them. See, you and I want people dependent on Jesus Christ. To build faith in if you're building faith in an individual, they're becoming less dependent upon you and more dependent on God. That's why some people, I don't think they like the faith thing, because they want people dependent on them. Now, we want people to come over where we teach them to your dependence is on God. He can be. I tell people, I can't meet all your needs. I can't do that. Now, God can. Now, when I'm not trying to do something bad to you, I'm trying to do something good to you, get you hooked up with God where you can get your needs met. And so that's what we're trying to do. But find out where people are, where they're at. Are they in a place to really understand what's going on when they talk about, now even like a person as a Christian? People will say, I have faith. Well, sometimes I ask people, what do you mean you have faith? What do you mean? Well, I believe in God. Well, that's the same kind of faith the devil has. He believes in God, doesn't he? Okay. Now, don't say it to, we're not trying to destroy the person, but let them know, hold it. We're trying to identify when you say you have faith, what are you talking about when you say you have faith? See, most Christians never answer questions. Over the years, I've had so many Christians come to me and say, a certain person's a Christian. I say, why? And they say, well, they have faith in God. What did that tell me? Nothing. Not a thing. That don't mean nothing about them. I mean, they're Buddhist. Buddhists have faith in God. Hindus have faith in God. In fact, they have over 1 million of them suckers. I'm going to tell you what, you see the pictures of them? You talk about ugly gods. Man, I am beautiful when I look at their pictures. I'll tell you what, I've sat and looked through the pictures of that stuff of their gods. You ought to see. I mean, they're ugly. I mean, my God. They're the weirdest looking things you've ever seen in your life. I'll tell you what, you don't want God to show up. But he'll make you look good, though. You'll look great. They are the ugliest demons you've ever seen in your life. So it's believing in God. Christianity is founded on faith in Christ Jesus. And you start talking. Sometimes you can really find out about a person. You start talking about Jesus. And I've told you guys before, sometimes you talk around people, say they're Christians. You start talking Jesus, and they ain't happy. Because they ain't Christians. They don't like Jesus. You run into somebody who's having a problem with Jesus, they're not from our camp. If you don't like Jesus, we ain't the same spot. So you want to find those things out. You want to begin to check people out to where they are so you know where to start to minister to them, where you can begin to talk to them at about, you know, where they're at concerning their faith. Because, see, we have a lot of people, and remember, you're going to have people come to you who really don't understand about healing at all. Maybe they want healed. They don't understand. They could be a Christian. They don't understand about healing. They have no concept of it. They don't, you know, their church doesn't teach it. They may go to church. They have heard people talk about it and things like that. Now, with ministering to people with healing, there's many times, I mean, there's loads of people that have come along that I have over the years prayed for who, dealing there, they were Christian. They were moving toward the area. They wanted to understand and know about healing. And God used me. I'd pray for them. And on my, God would allow me to use my faith. And most people was just one time. One time I could do that for an individual. I could pray for them and I got them healed. But I found this out. If they didn't turn around and respond to that and start walking toward it, if they just went back to their old way again, you can't do it for them again. You'll never do it for them again. They're going to have to decide they're going to walk toward it. I've had people I've done that for. A few years ago, I prayed for an individual. He had a number of different things wrong with him. And I just, in my spirit, I had talked to him about some things. He knew some things about healing, but he didn't understand about believing you received. That he just, he's working. He's trying to get healed. You run into a lot of people. They're trying to get healed. That's what they're at. So they're really not in a place of faith. But I just knew I was supposed to pray for him. So I laid my hands on him, prayed for him, and he was healed of all these different things. These problems, he was healed from every one of them. He was healed for them. But he ended up in other problems and that stuff because he never did come to try to walk in the light of that. So the devil, God didn't do anything to him. But the devil, you leave the door open and the devil will come visit. He likes to do that. He'll come visit with his junk. So it's one of the things that people need to understand is we don't play with the things of God. You show respect for the things of God. It's not good. It's not good to play around with things. It just isn't. It doesn't turn out well with people. I've watched it over the years. So, one of the things is, why is teaching? It's just like if we would say, you would never teach a person to multiply if they couldn't add. It wouldn't be make any sense to try to do if you tried to do that for a person. But that wouldn't make any sense. But many times, that's what the church is trying to take a person to a certain place. They haven't learned the base. They didn't learn how to add, subtract, multiply, and divide. And here we are teaching calculus. And it's like they don't have it. And we need to understand that about people in teaching and understand. This is why you find out where people are and what they do know, what they don't know. And you can, over time, you begin to teach people. One of the things is, talk to people about basic things about faith and in locating them. Now, if you read in Acts, the 17th chapter, in the Acts of the 17th chapter is an incident there where the Apostle Paul had gone up to Athens, and he was up in Athens there, and he got roaming, the incident's like from the 15th verse to 23. The incident takes place. He roams around the city and sees where these people are worshiping. They're worshiping all these gods. In other words, by what he's seeing these people are doing around here, what they're doing, he gets an idea of where they're at in this thing. And while he's roaming around there, these people, he's talking to them about Jesus and about his crucifixion and his resurrection, and they want to hear more about it, and they ask him in. And so, but anyhow, what he did is in verse 23, he said, "For as I was passing through and considering the objects of your worship," he said, "I even found an altar with this inscription, 'To the unknown God.' Therefore," he said, "the one whom you worship without knowing him, I proclaim to you." And he did that. He proclaimed Christ to them, but he looked around to see what they were doing, where these people were at, where they were. And when he finding out how they're acting, what they're doing, he finds an open door to place to minister to them. And we need to do that with people, is find the place of, if they have a place of open door they really want or not. And those are things you have to determine with people. You can have some people really want to know, some people are interested. Many people are ignorant about things of the Word of God. Church people, they're ignorant about it. The average church does not teach on the subject of healing. The average church, this is their belief. They believe that God can heal, but nobody gets it. You know, he don't do it. He can. You know, I'm not interested in what God can do. If he won't do it, I have no interest in it. If he's not going to do it, I ain't wasting my time with it. And I ain't lying to people that he can heal if he ain't going to do it. If he ain't going to do it, what's the point? You know, one of the worst things, yeah, I can do this, but I ain't going to. And so we have a lot of these kind of things people are dealing with. There's things that people have been taught, and they get deep-seated in them. Many times people are praying for things. I remember concerning healing, there was a group of guys when I worked at H.P. Reese Candy Company, and so I was born again, spirit-filled, talked in tongues, and there was this group, and they went to what they called a fundamentalist church, and they used to go around and give everybody else a hard time all the time. You know, nobody else was Christian enough for them, you know. And so they were always going around giving people a hard time and that stuff. So one day I was in the lunch table. I was sitting, I was by myself, and a group of them come in and sit down with me. And they started making fun of this stuff concerning healing. And see, they don't know nothing about the anointing, and the anointing came on me. And when the anointing came on me, I said to them, so your church doesn't pray for sick people at all? And they all got quiet. They all stopped me. I said, you don't pray for sick people at all? Well, yeah, we take prayer requests, they said, for sick. I said, you take prayer requests for sick people and you pray for them. I said, your church is nothing but full of sin. I said, because the Bible says whatever is of faith is sin. You pray for people and you don't believe God's going to heal them. I said, you got a pagan church. Well, they wanted to crawl under the table. And I said, and you're sticking your fingers in other people's faith. I said, you're a bunch of heathens. I said, you got this church, it's a fake thing. You pray, you don't believe nothing. Oh, thank God. Well, they didn't sit at Ed's table anymore. But they do. See, people don't realize. They run around doing this. I tell you what, there's people, they think they're just really spiritual. And I wonder if they're even saved. They have religious beliefs. Very strong. But they don't have faith in God. I mean, the idea, you don't believe God's going to heal people, and you're praying, going through the motions? To me, that's more despicable than a little bit, doing that kind of stuff. And taking prayer requests, and God ain't going to do nothing. Well, my God, let's go home, and don't give that stupid guy standing in the pulpit an offering. My God, don't pay a guy to be dumb. You get them free. Dumb people are free. Dear Lord. It's good preaching anyhow. Oh. As we go along here, we're going to, in his teaching, as things we're going to look at, is what we're doing is, really, it's almost like a mathematical concept here, that we're going to be building something, adding one thing to the next and one thing to the next as we go on. And if you learn, especially for yourself, you need to become convinced of these things. We're going to look at the fact that this is God's will for you to be healed. You need to be, get this straight. If you don't get this base that God wants you to be healed, it's not much point even going further. Don't even bother. I mean, there's no point going any further. Because if you don't know that he wants you healed, it's impossible for you to come to the place of faith and healing. You can't. You must be at the place that you know it's his will. You know, John wrote in 1 John, he said, if anybody asks for anything, anyone asks, according to his will, he said, we know. He said, this is the confidence you have. If you ask anything according to his will, we know he hears us. I know that God heals me when I ask according to his will. He said, this is what you're supposed to know. So if I'm asking according to his will, he hears me. And it says, if he hears me, then I will have it. I'm going to have the petition I request. I'm going to have it. See, we need to come to that. If you're not at that place, you don't know it's His will, there is no point going through the religious motions of things. So this is why you must stay at the place till you become convinced it's God's will for you to be healed. You just study. You know, it's one thing. Is I caught on a lot of this stuff pretty fast. But over the years, I just go back and study this stuff and study this stuff and study it over. Number one, I'm very studious about this stuff. You know, some people think that ministers sometimes, you know, they have special, you know, God gives them special things because they're ministers. People don't realize, if he's a decent minister, he studies a lot. And he studies the Word and studies the Word and studies the Word. And so he gets believing it. And you know what? I don't know any other way you're going to be able to do it. I have no idea. If you can do it any other way, please tell Ed. Because I've sure put a lot of time of study into this stuff. Now, I understand I could have an anointing to teach, but my anointing to teach doesn't work from the standpoint of me and my personal faith. My personal faith is built from the Word. I mean, that's where it is. I got to learn to believe just like everybody else. The anointing on me to teach doesn't have anything to do with that. I have just like everyone else. You got to build yourself in the Word and in faith with the Word. And so as we go along, this is what we're going to do. You build, and these are things that we add one upon the other. You know, we started the will of God. We got to know God as God is the giver. You got to know God as a giver. You got to look at it that way. You know, every perfect gift comes down from above. There's no shadow of turning, it says. No shadow. There's no shadow of turning from God. Just think about that. Every good and perfect gift, every good and perfect, and not every bad, every evil thing comes from God. Every good and perfect, it says there's no shadow in turning. I want you to think about that. How many people have shadows of turning in God? God's trying to do something bad to me. I'm sorry. The Bible is clear on the subject. If you believe anything other than the Word, you're not following God. I mean, it's just a fact. It's not throwing rocks at anybody. It's a fact. Every good and perfect gift comes down from above. Everyone. And there's no shadow of turning in God. There's no bad one for Him to give you. Why would God have bad things to give you? Because you look at the Scripture, and more in one time, we see the Apostle Paul talk about people being turned over to Satan for the destruction of the flesh. Well, if God's the killer, why wouldn't we turn them over to God? What would we turn them over to the devil for? See, the devil doesn't have anything to do anymore because the church says God took his place. Because all the bad stuff, see, the storms all come from God. You know, there's the God of this world, but all the storms, they come from God. I mean, most Christians believe the insurance company. Act of God, you know. Something bad happens, it's an act of God. No wonder, sure, you know that they're a bunch of messed up, flaky people taking our money, because, number one, they believe God's bad. Ain't much faith in insurance companies. The only faith they have is in your wallet. Every good and perfect gift comes down from above. Every good and perfect gift comes down from above. There is no shadow of turning in God. There's not a chance He would turn. There's not a chance He would do something different. Good and perfect is all He has to offer. Good and perfect. Most people will only take good. Don't ask for too much. We don't want to go too far, you know. Every good and perfect gift comes down from above. Hallelujah. See, it's you know, it's amazing because people will take you have the scripture like I'm talking there. People will take a scripture that says they think is something derogatory and they build themselves on it. You know, it's like people will do something. You know, you're going to build a million people healed, and you know what? Some guy, I know a guy didn't get healed. And you know who always says that? A Christian. You never, hardly ever have a sinner say that. It'll always be a Christian. I know a guy that didn't get healed. Well, my words, I know loads of them did, but I'll tell you, I did. Hallelujah. I don't have to show you somebody else. I know it works. Hallelujah. But we're adding these things together as we go along in these steps. And So it's like sort of looking at math. Does math work when you follow the principles of it? Does it work? You know, if you follow the steps of it? Well, it's the same way the Word of God will too, in the same way. God's Word will work, and so you have to follow it. One thing is to get a hold of is this. It, in a sense, it gets harder as you go up the steps. Because, see, you're coming to the place, you're arriving at the place to believe you receive. Now, that is the place that is going to be the hardest on your flesh. See, you have to learn to govern your flesh before you get there. Or you won't do that. If your flesh dominates, it's going to really be tough for you. See, that place where you believe you receive, it isn't based on feelings, it's not on any of that, it's not on what you see. And this is why building ourselves, each one of these things that we build one step upon the other, just like walking up regular steps, you're using up more energy as you go. Well, in the same manner of believing is in the same way. And you arrive at a place to believe you receive, being at the bottom is easier than it is to get to the top. And this is why you want to build in these steps. If you build in these steps and you do them, when you get to the top, you will believe. And yet, understand this. Faith is always going to have pressure come against it. Anytime you come to the place to release your faith, I don't care what it is, there's always pressure that's going to come against it. Always. Number one, your flesh, your own flesh is going to go against faith. Your own flesh will. Your own flesh is going to go against faith. I mean, that's just the way it is. You know, you get to praying and say, well, I believe I receive it. Thank you, Lord, for giving it to me. And your flesh says, I don't feel better yet. My knee still hurts. See, your flesh got a big mouth. Have you noticed that? You can keep your physical mouth shut and you can still hear your flesh yelling. Some people just let it run to their mouth all the time and say it. That's just, and if you do that, you ain't gonna ever get nowhere. you got to learn not to do that. People, I'm going to give you a piece of my mind. I always tell them, keep all you can get. You're going to need it. You need all the pieces you have. As a sinner, I lost my mind. I gave it away to everybody. I gave them all the pieces. Didn't have none anymore. Hallelujah. Praise God. So we're going to go on from here then. Next week we're going to go into things. We're going to look at the must factor and other things that you must believe. There's things that you must believe that the Bible says so that you must. And so it's really important because everything in any principle of God, to walk in it, live in it, there's things you must believe, there you have to believe. It's one of the things that in a church world, when I became a Christian, people talked about freedom as a Christian. You know, well, we're free, and our idea was free. People looked at anything that had laws and rules as being legalism. Laws and rules are not legalism. Laws and rules set boundaries, and they're good things. Just like, you know, we have laws and rules, we have a constitution that our founders made of the country. It was a framework to set up to make things run. It was a good thing. It wasn't, you know, you go to a lawless country, have a great time, you know. There's places, go down to Mexico, have a big time. You'll really enjoy being free. And they'll bury you in a vacant lot somewhere, too. So, you know, people need to, it is good. And in the kingdom of God, God's kingdom runs by rules and laws. And you want to be guided by those rules and laws. Jesus came and his parables laid out patterns of rules and laws, how the kingdom operates. You need to understand that. You need to understand those laws on how things run. It's one of the things is you need to learn is this. Deuteronomy 28. Talks about the blessing and the curse. Now, see, people today, they believe and say, we don't go back under that's back under the Mosaic Law. We don't go by that. I'm sorry, the New Testament says that those things were written for our admonition. They were written for us. Don't say they were written for them. They were written for us. Why? Because those principles stand. The principles of the blessing and the curse are running today. Everything that you see going on in this earth is following that law. That law is stated in the New Testament. Whatever you sow, you're going to reap. That stands. That law will never change. That is a law of the kingdom. We're seeing a mess in America today because of that law. We set things in motion. God didn't. God doesn't have to set. The law itself sets it in motion. It's like gravity is a law. I don't know. God don't have to throw me to the ground. Take me in the air. I'll hit the ground. You know, it's just the way that it is. I mean, that law works, and we need to understand it. Everything runs off the basis of that law, Deuteronomy, the blessing and the curse. Now, we as Christians have been redeemed from the curse. But that doesn't mean we can live outside the law and have blessing. You can't. Why? You're going to reap what you sow. So we need to understand that. Is if people get a hold of that fact that God has placed it within our hands of what we want to follow and do. We follow His word. It's like with Israel. He told them, you follow the blessing, you do what my word says. These blessings will overtake you. If you don't, this is what's going to happen to you. When we look across this world and we see all the curse going on, why is the curse going on? You can look at Deuteronomy 28. God has set a standard and men refuse the standard. And so the curse reigns in the earth. The curse is reigning in the earth. People need to see that. It don't have to. God gave us the blessing through Jesus Christ. So it's up to us. It's up to us what we want to do. But you follow that principle, and that's understand that. If you understand that principle, I'll tell you what, you can walk in the grace of God, and you can have a blessed life. Amen. It's not some hard thing. It's not some, oh my God, this is so hard to do. It just makes sense in life. You know, the Bible talks about reaping what you sow. Talking about with loving people. You know, what you do, you're going to be done to you. So, I mean, that principle, that's the curse. That's just that principle's running and running everything. But people don't like to talk about those stuff because a lot of people don't send you checks when you talk about those things. You know, you just tell them everybody's going to be all right. You can live like hell and it's all going to turn out good if you send me a check. You know. Because if we get enough money, we're just going to, everything's good, and we'll just prophesy whatever you want to hear. We'll say it. No matter if it ever comes to pass or not, we'll just tell you wonderful and glorious things that have never happened. But, you know, people like that. People are messed up. And I understand that people are living in fear. Today, fear is dominating and ruling. It is dominating and ruling. We're seeing where Jesus said himself that men's hearts will fail them for the fear of the things coming on the earth. Hallelujah. But not this man. Amen. Glory to God. See, I'm not going to live under fear. I don't have to be afraid. See, I could still, if I walk and do what's right, then I'll have the blessing. And there'll be people, there are people in this last days and times, they're going to walk in the blessing. There are people going to follow they're going to follow Jesus Christ and walk in the blessing, and their lives will be blessed. And there's people who are going to follow the curse. That's just the way it's going to be. They're not going to follow God. They're not going to want the things of God. They're not going to go after Him. They're going to choose other. Well, you know, it amazes me. I mean, I sit down and I look today and I'm amazed at what in Christianity, the directions people are going. I mean, it's just, it's insanity. The direction people are going. But there's also people out here that they're sort of just tired the way things are going. They're tired the way, they're finding out that in the world's no fun place to live. Out here with these people and everybody has their own beliefs and all this kind of thing. People want some stability. Things are just falling apart. I mean, I just heard like Las Vegas is, their kids are going back to school now. And the only reason they're sending their kids back to school because the rate of suicide among their teenagers is skyrocketing. Because they've been locked up for how long? Most of them since this stuff's been started. These fearful adults, these adults are full of fear. Are killing their kids. And that's what they're doing. They're killing their kids. They don't even know. They're making their decisions by their fears, by what they're afraid of, and they don't realize the things that they're doing is killing their offspring. It's the curse. Part of the curse is killing your kids. We got it going in America. It's really getting good now. See, we don't realize at all. People don't realize. Do you really? People say, you know, they talk about Israel in the past. Look at the curse that's come on Israel. And we're talking about in New Covenant days, grace days. What's happened to Israel over time? How many times did people, since the time that Jesus Christ was raised from the dead, they tried to wipe Israel out? Now, we're talking under our New Covenant days. See, people say they don't believe in this curse stuff. I'm going to tell you what, ask the Jew. I mean, the curse has been following because of their rejection of Christ. Do you think it only follows Jews? God's had grace on the Gentile, but I just want to tell you, it's ending. America don't make some changes, it's going to end. It ain't going to get prettier. God has been trying. God has been trying. People aren't listening. Hallelujah. Praise God. Well, best thing you and I can do is just keep telling people. Amen. Let people know. Some will be happy to hear, and some won't. You know, I'm just going to tell you, don't be silent. I walked for many years. I said a lot of things over time, was criticized for them because everybody wanted to have some pretty message to say. For years, I've seen this stuff coming. I've seen these things coming. I've watched them. Why? Because the Bible don't change. God don't change. The principles of God stay the same. We can't get further away from God and get more blessing. We're not going to stay further away. Now, in 1950, Kenneth Hagin had vision, and Jesus, you know, the Lord said at that time, America's have its last call, and he called America to repentance. Now, let me ask you this. Is America a much better nation today than it was in 1950? We've become so more pagan. What do you think God's saying today? I'm going to tell you, there is an urgency concerning America. And most of our spiritual leaders are dead men. They ain't got no more clue of what's going on. They're so silent, it's incredible. Just saying the same things they said 20 years ago, which didn't amount to nothing, that led us to this. Chasing after stuff that... Chasing after things. You can get things from God, but it'd be best to chase God. That's the best to chase. And I'm going after God, and... One of the things that happens, you want to be able to see what's happening because... You cannot help or turn things, and we're going to talk about this in Sundays. We're going to talk about some of these things because if we want to turn judgment back and hold judgment back, you can't do that being like most of these ministers today who have, they don't know about judgment. They don't even like it. Some of them said that it tells us these things ain't judgment and God's not judging and all that kind of stuff. They're saying things. These prophets run around prophesying all over the place, and ain't none of it coming to pass, so they just make another prophecy, and they just add stupid to more stupid, and they just keep doing it. Someone must be able to stand before God, but the people who aren't paying attention, they can't. Somebody got to be able to go before God. Somebody got to see what the problem is, because you're going to have to go as an intercessor before God based on what the problem is. And they say there's no problem, there's no judgment. How can they pray if they don't believe judgment's going on? You can't intercede. What would you intercede for? There would be no purpose of intercession. The prayer of intercession is basically to withhold judgment. And believe me, we're in it. We're not waiting for judgment. Judgment will increase. I mean, just think about it. They got this stupid vaccine out, and you'd think things got worse. They're acting more terrible now than they did before the vaccine. It's like, people are insane out here. It don't make any sense, but that's what happens. I mean, that's just the norm. Don't make any sense. To them, it seems to make sense, but really they're delusional. People are so deceived, they don't even know that they ain't making sense. And no use trying to talk to them about it. You ain't going to try. Don't try to explain it to them. I'm serious. They ain't going to get it. We need a move of God. We need to withhold judgment, because if it doesn't get withheld, there'll just be more terror and they'll get worse and worse. And so this is one of the things is why things didn't work out concerning prayer, concerning the president, because of what people were doing and praying. People ain't following things concerning Scripture. God set up a pattern of things. And I've learned this over the years. You have to follow God's pattern. That's what you have to do. And it's going to have to first be preached for people to come into faith to do it. People are going to have to understand what it is. And a lot of it's been left. Now, back in the 80s, there was some teaching in these areas that I learned things, but I see the people today don't have any idea of. And I'm just amazed that some of the ministers today, I know from back in the 80s, they've gotten away from it just completely. You'd think they were never even taught. You'd think that they never even heard anything about this stuff. And yet they did. But see, they got over into other things, and they got over to areas that they're deceived, and they can't even remember what they did know. And you get into darkness. And so one of the things, you got to preach light. And see, we're going to have to preach the Word of God. You've got to bring light on the subject. And so if we know what to do and what to preach, then light will come. There'll be people respond to the light. We have to know how to pray to push back judgment so light will shine. And it's not going to be done in 10 minutes. It ain't going to be done in 10 hours or 10 days or 10 months. It's going to have to be a continuation. We're up against a big wall. And it ain't going to be pushed away in the people like want to. They want, I want to say my little prayer and run off and it's going to work. Well, it ain't going to. We didn't learn from Obama's last time in office. The church prayed and he got voted in anyways. Same junk. People were prophesying that he wasn't going to be president, and he wasn't, and he was. And I watched it and I listened to him. And then I started seeing it again, except it was more amplified this time than before. People aren't listening to the Spirit of God. They're running around and saying what they want. You can say what you want, all you want. And people need to know what things we have to do to change things. And it ain't doing what they're doing. And hallelujah. God wants, God wouldn't be speaking things to, there are people God is speaking to, and he wouldn't be speaking things to, if things are the point that they're too far gone, well, there ain't no point talking about it. But it's not at that point. Things can still be changed. And the thing to do is, I just encourage you, quit paying attention to what half these people are saying about stuff. Don't follow things unless they witness in your spirit. I don't care who's saying it. You can't walk in it unless it witnesses in your spirit. I don't care how you think they are. You have to know it in your heart that it's true, or you can't operate in it. You're just going through the motions. And I was listening to all these prophets, all these guys saying things. It didn't witness in my spirit. I didn't go around saying what they were saying, because it didn't witness in me that what they were saying was right. Well, I can't walk in it. I know we should look. We should be at a place, we call ourselves people of faith. We ought to know what's in faith in our hearts and what's not. If we don't know, then we don't really know how to walk by faith. Faith is what's walking in your heart you believe and you don't doubt. Well, I know I had doubts in what they were saying, so I couldn't walk in faith in it. I couldn't walk in it, and we just got to come to that place. Or I ain't going to move till I know. I'm not going to move till I know. That's just that simple. We have been going at things too fast in the church world, been going all these ideas, and they're jumping through hoops and doing stuff. Don't move till you know. God witnesses something to your heart, you know it. Well, then go ahead with it. It'll work. But don't you try to put it in your heart. What a mess that'll be. Hallelujah. Well, let's close in prayer. Father, I just want to say thank you, especially for being so patient with us. I am so thankful. You're so good, it's incredible. Hallelujah. Father God, I just appreciate you so much, Lord God, your care of looking after us. Lord God, you love us so much, you correct us. And I'm glad, Lord God, I've sure needed correcting. And I thank you. You never correct me. You said, Lord God, you chasten the one you love. And so I thank you. We know without a doubt that you love us, Lord God. Lord, you take the time to speak with us and you tell us the truth. Lord God, you're developing our faith. You're building us up. You're putting confidence in us. And I just want to thank you, Father God. Father, there's a great chore that you have before us. And the people in this nation need ones who can hear from God. And I believe we can. I believe we can hear. I believe, Lord God, we can respond to you. I believe we can do your will. And Lord God, I believe you will use us. And Father, we want to be used to help set this nation back on track again. Hallelujah. Lord God, there are so many in darkness. And Lord God, such darkness it is. Lord, people can't see what's good in front of them. They can't even tell, haven't got a clue. Lord God, they can't see failure coming when it's on top of them and done run them down. They can't see it. And Lord God, Lord, we're not against people, we're for them. We want, Lord God, just as your heart, you desire that all men come into the knowledge of the truth. Your will is that all men would be saved, and we want them saved, Lord God. We want people to be delivered from the power of darkness, translated into the kingdom of your dear Son. That's our desire. Lord God, we want to be used. We want to be used in this hour, Lord. We want to walk as children of light. We want to be children of blessing in this day, and we want to bring light to the generation. Lord, there are so many young people, the generation, Lord God, that are living today, they haven't heard anything about the truth and nothing. They have heard nothing about righteousness and holiness. They've heard nothing about a wonderful God. Hallelujah. Father God, that they can come to, Lord God, that would utterly change their lives. Father God, we want to preach that gospel to them. We want to let them know, Lord God, that there is hope, Lord. And Father, many of them are searching for it. They don't know what to do. Hallelujah. And I thank you, Father God, you're going to anoint us, Lord God, to turn things in this nation. Lord God, there's a glorious church rising. There's a remnant of people in this land and around the world, Lord God, that are looking to you. Hallelujah. Father God, you're going to do wonderful things, Lord, because you have a people that are going to stand before you and are not going to be moved, hallelujah, till your will gets done. And we thank you for it, Father. In Jesus' name, amen.